thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Sidekick, where we delve into ancient societies, the ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the skeptic psychic.
Hi, thanks for coming today for the skeptic psychic. My name is Richard, always here with co-host and wonderful sibling, Kimbra.
Sibling, just that term, it seems so neutral. I think we should, let the world know that I'm your wonderful, loving sister.
Well, yes, but you're my favorite sibling.
Yes, true.
Anyway, today, as I said on the Skeptic Psychic Facebook page, we're going to be discussing Edgar Cayce, a.k.a. the Sleeping Prophet, and what he accomplished in his lifetime. And actually, a lot of what Edgar Cayce did back before he died is still going on today. There is a research facility in Virginia, I believe, in his home of Christian County, based on his spiritual growth. First off, let me tell you about Edgar Cayce. He was born in 1877 in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Psychic abilities began to appear as early in his childhood. He often played with imaginary friends, who he said were spirits on the other side. Also displayed an uncanny ability to memorize pages of books by simply sleeping on it.
So let me get this straight. He absorbed the writings in the book?
Yeah, simply by just sleeping on it.
Was this ever tested to see if he actually knew what the book was? And was it watched to see if he'd read it or not?
Many people are surprised the fact that he was actually tested, okay, have you read this book? Give me about 24 hours, I'll be able to tell you what it's about. And sure enough, the next day they questioned him and he knew exactly what was going on. You know what he did in his spare time?
What's that?
He was a Sunday school teacher. He was a photographer. He also is believed the father of holistic medicine, as well as being labeled as the sleeping prophet. Many of his home remedies were taken via letters of people coming up to him or people actually visiting his house. Now, some people may call him strange, but he was a Christian. His goal in life was to read the Bible every year of his life, all the way up to the time of his death.
I do see a lot of his books are still available on Amazon. There's the famous Black Book, An A to Z Guide to Cayce's Psychic Readings. Mm-hmm. And that, it shows, is written by Edgar Cayce himself.
Right.
And then there's also the Edgar Cayce Encyclopedia of Healing, written by Reba Ann Karp, as well as a few others here. It appears he's had over 14,000 readings in his lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder how many of those actually came out to be true.
Well, according to a lot of proponents, when Edgar Cayce predicted Atlantis would actually be found in the Caribbean. Interesting to note that in 1966 or 68, they actually found what appears to be several blocks set together, almost like a road off the coast of Bimini. He also spoke at length about the Dead Sea Scrolls and the people creating the Essenes, E-S-S-E-N-E-S. But interesting to note that the Dead Sea Scrolls weren't discovered until 2 years after his death.
Interesting.
He died in 1945, and they were discovered in 1947.
Interesting.
And it would take many more years before the details of the Essenes, again, E-S-S-E-N-E-S, would begin to emerge.
What are those?
They were pretty much ran out of Israel and Jerusalem by the Romans, and they kind of kept books of the Bible in secret passageways throughout Middle Eastern areas.
Interesting.
Yeah. Going back to the Bimini discovery, he actually predicted that the lost city of Atlantis was be discovered near Bimini in 1968 or 1969. And in 1968, archaeologists discovered the underwater rock formation off the coast of Muhammad Island of North Bimini. Hmm. So, yeah. Not only did he appear in Ripley's Believe It or Not, but in more of those 14,000 documents readings to a wide variety of people, celebrities such as Harry Houdini, Thomas Edison, Woodrow Wilson, and Marilyn Monroe were the ones who actually had written to him in his lifetime.
Interesting. Now, did these people write to him asking for readings, or was it just fan mail like, oh, you're so awesome, I wish we could meet someday?
I would say that it was more or less, I'd like to meet you. You sound fascinating. Well, with Harry Houdini, who was a debunker himself, probably wrote to him wanting to meet with him about finding out whether he was true or not.
Mm-hmm. So it shows they called him the sleeping prophet because when he would go to sleep,
he'd take a nap every day. And someone would actually be next to him with a pen and paper and write down everything he said when he slept because he was known as talking mm-hmm. to sleep.
Yes, it says he would go into a trance while he was asleep. Mm-hmm. And so they would record his words. He could answer questions on subjects as varied as the healing, reincarnation, dreams, the afterlife, past lives, nutrition, Atlantis, and other future events.
Yep.
It was believed that it was his subconscious mind exploring the dream world, where he believed minds were timelessly connected.
Yes. The name of his nonprofit organization is the Association for Research and Enlightenment, which basically is ARE.
So we are, in other words.
Yeah.
He began his life on March 18th, 1877.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in Kentucky. He was one of six children. When he was a child, he was alleged to have seen his deceased grandfather. He regarded him and other beings that he saw as incorporeal because he could see through them if he looked hard enough.
Yeah. Up until September of 1923, his readings were not symptomatically recorded or preserved. However, when he was interviewed by the Birmingham Post-Herald on October 10th, 1922, Casey is quoted as saying that he had given at least 8,056 readings as of that date.
Oh, wow.
This is before 1922.
Okay.
Yeah. Sunday school teacher, insurance salesman, and homeopathic and holistic medicine. In March of 1943, the first edition of his only biography written by Casey's lifetime, There Is a River by Thomas Sugrue, that's S-U-G-R-U-E. As a consequence, the public demand increased. Office staff had to be increased, and the mailman could not long carry all the mail. So his wife, Gertrude, whom he married June 17th, 1903, would actually pick up the mail at the post office by car. From June 43 to June 44, he had already done 1,385 readings. By August, he had collapsed from the strain. When he gave a reading on the situation, the instructions were to rest until he was well or dead. He and Gertrude went away to the mountains of Virginia, but in September, Edgar Casey suffered a stroke at the age of 67. That was in September 1944, and he died on January 3rd, 1945. He is buried in Riverside Cemetery in the beautiful town of Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Sadly, his wife Gertrude followed him 3 months later.
Now, looking at it from a skeptic side, skeptics say that Casey's psychic abilities were fakery, were non-existence, and health experts have said that his holistic remedies were unorthodox treatments, and they regard them as quackery. Also, they allege that the evidence Casey has used for his powers was sensationalized by newspaper articles, affidavits, anecdotes, testimonies, and books rather than any actual evidence that can be independently evaluated.
They also said because he's probably well learned, most of his alleged predictions were just following his own analytical view of what was going on in the world.
Interesting. He only had a ninth grade education. But right. As you said, he did acquire a broad knowledge through reading. And from this, it is said that he wove elaborate tales, which also give skeptics doubt in his actual predictions and readings.
You know, Robert Todd Carroll, who wrote the book in 2003 called The Skeptic's Dictionary about Casey, he was one of the main people responsible for some of the sillier notions about Atlantis. Mm-hmm. He mentioned some of Casey's ideas, including his belief in a giant solar crystal activated by the sun and used to harness energy, providing power on Atlantis. And his prediction that in 1958, the U.S. would discover a death ray that had been used on Atlantis. So one of his prophecies that weren't kind of sketchy.
Also, famed skeptic James Randi was known to have commented that Casey was fond of expressions like, I feel that, and perhaps, and other qualifying words used to avoid positive declarations. So that way, if something were to come out as false, he could say, well, that was just a feeling I had and not, you know, a definite thing.
Mm-hmm. Again, like I said, ARE, commute nonprofit organization, is still open today by appointment now because of COVID.
Also, an ESP pioneer, Joseph B. Ryan from the Duke University, was unimpressed. He said that a reading that Casey had given Ryan's daughter was inaccurate. This can be found in Looking for a Miracle, Weeping Icons, Relics, Stigmata, Visions, and Healing Cures from Prometheus Books. It doesn't say here who the author is, but I will look that up and put that in the description as well.
So like I said, on the skeptic side, as well as on the believer side, we both do have links to Edgar Casey, as well as his tales. I do have his nonprofit organization website link on there. Your thoughts on Mr. Casey?
That's a hard one. It's hard to say whether it was true or not, because I wasn't there to witness things that happened. Sadly, a lot of the spiritualism from the 1920s and before has been proven to be false. So it's really hard to say whether I believe this story or not. What do you think?
I think, one, he has a very iambic, aka photographic memory, to where he can actually just look at a book and tell you what it's all about. I also think he was very analytical when it came to, you know, his predictions. Just because you have a ninth grade education does not mean that you're not smart or dumb. During his time, some people may have had a fifth grade, third grade education that, you know, smart enough to write your name.
I know, I definitely agree with that. I mean, my mother-in-law, she's got a fifth grade education, but she went on to own her own business to be very profitable and successful with it. So I definitely don't think education is a good indicator on how well you know things or how smart you are, because life experience has a lot more to do with it. And there's things that you can learn later in life. So definitely, I believe education is good. It is a foundation. It is a starting point, but it's not the only way to become intelligent or wise throughout the world.
Okay. And just because I'm being obstinate and silly, everybody forgive me. But it's also going to be a link on there for the Atlantis Resort in the Bahamas.
Okay.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Proof Edward Casey's got the Atlantis was in the Bahamas, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
There you go.
It's one of his predictions. Yes.
So. But yeah, this is kind of a topic I like to go back over a few more times, just because, one, it's a skeptic's paradise. Two, it also has a lot of belief in it. I mean, when you have people like Woodrow Wilson, Irving Berlin, President of the United States, Woodrow Wilson, Thomas Edison, even the biggest skeptical illusionist known to the 20th century, Harry Houdini, was researching into him. It is kind of a fascinating topic. So this may be just part one of many, because I really would like to go back and look deeper into it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would love to do something about the spiritual era and talk more about that. And we can definitely address this back at that. But there are so many fascinating stories of famous spiritualists, either who have been proven true or have been proven to be false. And some of those stories, I really think people would enjoy hearing about.
Right. I mean, Madame Blavatsky would be a very good person to discuss. And you're like, who the heck is this person? I have never heard of them before.
And who is this?
She's another early 20th century psychic founder, clairvoyant, that sort of thing.
Another great one to discuss is Houdini, because he was very much into spiritualism until his mother passed. And he started going to these mediums and spiritualists trying to contact his mother and was finding information they were giving was fake. Right. So that would be great to go more into detail of his debunkings of the spiritual movement.
You know who I'd like to interview? It's a dream interview.
Who is that?
Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, yes. Mr. Aykroyd, if you're out there and you happen to hear this, we would love to talk with you. Been a fan for many years.
Because, no, I'm being all serious.
I am too.
Because his family, going back to his great-great-grandfather, were the founders of the spiritualism in the late 19th and early 20th century.
Interesting. I did not know that. We'll have to find information on that and post it.
Yes, his father wrote a book on ghosts and the paranormal, published about a few years back. But yeah, I would really love to sit back, not talk about movies, about how Ghostbusters, this, that, and the Blues Brothers. No, I want to say, okay, yeah, Mr. Aykroyd, may I call you Danny? May I call you Dan? Let's talk about the spiritualism and the clairvoyance of the earliest part of the 20th century. So, Mr. Aykroyd, if you're out there, somebody suggesting you're a skeptic psychic, give us a call. I would really love to sit back and talk to you about spiritualism in late 19th, early 20th century.
No, I totally agree. I think Mr. Aykroyd is amazing. And not just from his acting, but his passion and love for this paranormal and UFOs and mm-hmm. the spiritual movement. I think it would be really interesting to sit down and have a talk with him.
I mean, probably couldn't afford him, but it would just be nice.
This is true. Maybe once we make a name for ourselves, then, you know, we're more famous ourselves.
Right. This is our talk on Edgar Cayce, gentleman who brings both the true believer and the skeptic all in the same room together.
Yeah, it's very interesting stuff. Before the show ends each week now, I would like to possibly talk about a true ghost story. It can either be a personal experience or it can be a famous ghost story that we'd like to share. If any of our listeners have any stories they would like to share on air, you're welcome to write into us. You can either fill out our contact form at skepticpsychic.com. You can find us on Facebook at our page, Skeptic Psychic, and our new group, Skeptic Psychic.
You can contact us at info.skepticpsychic.com.
info@skepticpsychic.com.
Right.
Yes, thank you. I forgot our email. So tonight, Richard, would you like to share a story from your life, or maybe a famous ghost story that you love to hear or read?
Her name is Dixie. And she had just a year ago given birth to a beautiful child. Her husband was working nights, so she was alone with her one-year-old. She had recently discovered that she was 3 months pregnant. And they had moved into this three-bedroom house renting. And she began to have nightmares of this green man. Now, her son, who knew how to say mama and daddy, also began saying green man, and crying in the middle of the night. One night, she heard him screeching in the bedroom. She went to investigate. Behind her was a closed closet. As she reached in to check on her one-year-old son, she heard the sliding of the closet door. She heard thunk. The basketball had rolled off from the top. Thunk! It bounced again. Till finally, by the third thunk, it hit her in the back of the head. She turned around and saw the basketball sitting on the ground next to her, just slightly bouncing. She called her husband, complaining about this weird feeling and that she was not going to stay another night in this house. He convinced her, you know, just give it a couple more days, that sort of thing. A couple of days later, husband and wife are sitting watching a late night talk show where the celebrity saying that she had had similar incidents where basically this ghost was haunting her and plaguing her at night, and that her spiritual mentor told her to get on her knees and pray to release whatever it was. Dixie's darling husband turned around to her and says, "I didn't believe you until this interview." So the next morning, Dixie, on her hands and knees on the edge of the bed, prayed to her Heavenly Father to release whatever evil spirit would be gone. Sure enough, within the next day, within the next weeks, within the next months, she never had the problem with whatever spirit, and they soon moved to another house where she gave birth to her second child. An ending to this story. Several years later, I was able to meet with the person that lived in that house, I'd say 20 years later, and they have never had any problems whatsoever in that house.
Who are you going to recommend this week?
I want to recommend a wonderful podcast hosted by a wonderful person, two people, I should say, Jennifer Page and her constant companion, Maxwell, as they explore the theater of the mind, of telling of ghost stories and of true tales of the macabre. Join them for Odd Tonic. They bring a unique perspective as they tell their tales. Some of them are fan submitted, some of them are researched and developed. But imagine Morticia as a blonde and Gomez without the mustache, together sitting and drinking tea, discussing these things as if it's an everyday normal thing. That is what you get when you explore the world of Odd Tonic.
For me this week, I'd like to talk about Ghostly Podcast. This is a podcast I just recently discovered, and it's hosted by Patrick Harrington and Rebecca Rivers. And this is a very interesting show. It also has the look at things as being, is it real or is it not? They tell a famous ghost story every other week when they're on. And then they talk about, is it true or is it false? Then they each give their reasons as to why one of them thinks it's true and one of them thinks it's fake. Then they ask the viewers to vote in. The next week that they're on, they reveal the results of the viewers and make their final determination on, is the story true or is it false? And that's a Ghostly Podcast on every other Wednesday on Apple Podcasts. Next week, we will have our first interview. A wonderful friend of ours named Daryl Sean Price will be on to talk about his gifts and
his journey. Let's just say his journey into the paranormal, as well as his viewpoints of the societal impact of his pagan existence. He's also created a game, an RPG that we'd also like to talk to him about as well.
Yes, he will be having a Kickstarter for that coming up very soon. So he will be here to give us the details on that. So make sure you tune in next week where we talk with our good friend, Daryl Sean Price.
All right. So as we go along this misty road and we ask ourselves, is it real or is it just fantasy?
Are we caught in a landslide?
No escape from reality. But have yourself a wonderful evening and take care. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.